Welcome to Life Planning 101, brought to you by Kennedy Financial Services of Eastland. Tune in every Monday morning at 8:30 on KATX, and again on Saturday morning at 9 on KATX and KWBY, as Angela Robinson joins Terry Slavens to share important financial information to help you live life on purpose. Insurance, investments, estate and tax planning, and much more. All covered now on Life Planning 101.
And welcome in. It is Life Planning 101 right here on this Tuesday morning. Bank holiday or national holiday, federal holiday yesterday. Did you know President's Day? Years ago, they celebrated both George Washington and Abraham Lincoln's, and they both happened to be in February. Mm-hmm. And I always thought they combined them together just to recognize those two men, but actually it's in recognition of every president's
birthday. Right, yeah. You know, so. Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's what I always thought when I was a kid. So.
Yeah, you know, yep. So. Sort of ironic that Abraham Lincoln and George Washington both born
in February.
In February.
Right.
I mean, two of our most illustrious presidents ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of George Washington's and Abraham Lincoln's, we're here to talk about debt.
Debt, yes. You asked if it was a better subject since we're on Tuesday. I thought since everybody's kind of been broken in on Monday, we'd talk about a worse subject today, and that is debt. I have some statistics here, and the reason I got this is usually when people hear that word, they cringe. In your case, Terry, you almost fell out of the back of your chair when I told you what we were going to talk about, you know, because it's not something we do like to talk about. It's almost become a taboo subject in our country.
Yes.
And it doesn't need to be. It needs to be exposed.
And it's one of those things you can't ignore.
You can't ignore it. And the truth is, though, is there is bad, there is ugly, but there's also good.
Right.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, is really understanding the differences, understanding how to kind of get it under control, and, you know, if using it to your advantage when you can. So there's multiple things here, but the reason I think this is so important is I actually pulled up the Federal Reserve site, and I've got it here in front of me, and this was as of quarter three 2016, okay? But in our nation, there is $747 billion of credit card debt. Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And the households that are actually carrying that debt on average have $16,000 per household.
Great days.
Think about that. That's huge.
And a lot of the interest rates are astronomical.
Yeah, interest rates are astronomical. So it's no wonder when people find themselves in credit card debt, they start cringing and have what I call debt-a-phobia. Okay. you know, I actually sat down with a couple last summer, and, you know, it was probably the most interesting thing I've ever had happen while I was planning. I've never had someone just look at me, you know, verbally say no, say absolutely not. And it was to not having any debt of any kind. And the reason why is that right there. They had gotten themselves in such a bad place before, and that they didn't trust themselves with debt.
Right.
And that's the truth of it, is it's kind of like, you know, if you take a pile of bricks, tie it on the bottom of your foot, and sink you to the bottom of an ocean, right? And then you're trying to get up with a double-digit interest rate, making minimum payments. It's hardly ever going to happen. And no wonder Dave Ramsey has had such success in our country, because he's the debt guy, right?
Right.
He helps people get out of debt. Well, the truth behind it is all he does is tell you pay the highest interest rate thing first, as much as you can per month, and don't go in more debt.
And, you know, the government's been proactive on this, because now they require credit card statements to include, if you only make the minimum payment,
that's right,
this is how long it's going to take to pay
that's
this
right.
off. If you just add $10 or $15 or $20 or $25 that minimum payment, it cuts the years and the amount of interest.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing. When we were doing our home remodel, I had some pretty sizable credit card bills, and I pay mine off monthly, but it had that on there, and I was looking at it as I, holy smokes, you know, I mean, it literally was like a mortgage.
That $25,000 remodel turns into $75,000.
Or more. Yes.
Yeah.
It was huge. So, you know, it was just amazing to be able to see that. But I think that's why we need to talk about it. You know, we have this increasing fear of debt, because people are living outside their means, they're compounding their debts, and consequently, and unnecessarily, that's the key word here, unnecessarily, they increase their fear of debt. You don't need to be fearful of debt. Okay. Right. You need to be fearful of bad debt. there is a big difference there. You know, and I think that's what we really want to hit on today as far as what's going on. Now, I found this interesting. I still want to tell you about these figures because there are some others. And the interesting thing was, so auto loans weren't bad. Average auto loan was, well, I say it's not bad. I guess it is. $28,535. The average student loan, $49,000.
Wow.
For those that have it. $1.28 trillion in student loans. Trillion. You heard that.
With a T.
Trillion with a T. Auto loans, I don't always necessarily think that's such a bad thing because there's so much 0%, 1% out there. So I wonder how much of that misconstrues that number. And then mortgages actually looked really good. This was the interesting thing. So there's $8.35 trillion in mortgages, which sounds like a huge amount. It is a massive amount, okay? But on a household basis, there's $172,806 of average mortgage. For most people, that's stomachable when you think about the cost of paying rent is about the size of that mortgage there on a 30-year term. So, you know, really, we may have got some things under control. I'd be interested to go back in 08 and see what this looked like then versus now. But that kind of looks like that might be in a better situation than where we were in the past. But we've got a lot to go over today. We're going to talk about this bad debt in particular. We're going to talk about the ugly side of that debt. We're going to talk about good debt and how to use debt to your advantage, because that's something that often we don't talk about. And really, sometimes you may be taking more risk by not taking debt.
We'll have more when we come back with Life Planning 101 right here on KTX KWBY. Life Planning 101 continues on this Tuesday morning. Angela's here. She's got a really popular subject. It's debt.
It's debt. Yes, the good, the bad, and the ugly of debt. Tweet us at KFS Life Planning. Answer our weekly poll. Does the fear of debt keep you awake at night? Yes or no? We want to know. Our listeners, how important is this to you? So bad debt is dangerous, and we kind of gave over some statistics. The average household has around $16,000 in debt, according to the Federal Reserve, the average household that has credit card debt. And, you know, like I mentioned, it's like being at that bottom of that pool with bricks tied to you, and you just can't get out, right? And the reason why is, if you think about it, you're borrowing money at a ridiculous interest rate. You're making minimum payments that will seldom, if ever, be able to catch up to things. So, you know, how do you control that? And really, it doesn't matter what type of debt it is, if it's credit card debt, student loans, even, okay? This is very important. Cars, your business, your home, whatever. You can basically define bad debt as debt without a budget. You know, I've talked a lot about budgets on the shows before, and this is so interesting. My dad started doing seminars way before I came into business in 1992. And he went to he's worked at various colleges, you know, Tarleton, Hardin-Simmons, ACU, McMurray University, and he's actually taught classes. And it didn't matter if it was 1992 or if it's 2017, the primary takeaway from those classes is create a budget.
Have a budget.
Yeah. And it hasn't changed. So, you know, how important is that to people? It's everything. Because if you think about what a budget is not a restricting tool. It's not to say I have to live within this budget. A budget is really what you live by, okay? It's just basically a story of your financial life on a yearly basis. And the reason why it's so important is because if you have that story of your financial life, then you know if I can retire, because I know what income I need to have to support that story.
Right.
Right? You know if you can buy a new car, because you know if you have enough cash flow between your income level and that story to be able to support that car payment. Right?
Right.
Okay. You know if you have enough cash flow to be able to support the student loan, right, to go to school, right?
Right.
Okay. And if you don't, maybe you need to be thinking about how you can support it. I always use a story, and I know, I mean, she was just superwoman in my mind, but there was a young lady that my middle brother dated for a while, and she was obtaining her doctorate when I got to know her, and she had zero student debt.
Wow.
Zero student debt. Isn't that cool? And her parents didn't help her.
She did it herself.
She did it herself. She worked enough to pay off her student loans and live within her means. Think about that.
That,
That's not American.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, right? Because we all are keeping up with the Joneses in our country.
Right.
That's the difference. But you've got to make a decision. You know, we always talk about this on the show. You know, if you're sitting here and it's 10 years from today, 2026, and you're looking back over those last 10 years, what did you not want to regret? You know, if you're going out and you're buying that $50,000 vehicle, in 10 years, are you still going to be excited about that same $50,000 vehicle? Do you think you might have regretted buying that $50,000 vehicle?
Buyer's remorse.
Buyer's remorse. That's exactly right.
And you usually don't have to wait 10 years.
That's it. That's exactly right. So, you know, knowing your budget is a huge integral part of being able to manage your debt. And you mentioned something in the break, Terry. You know, so many people, they'll have this $16,000 credit card debt, and they do what?
They refinance it.
Yeah, they consolidate it. They get it refinanced, but then guess what they do?
Charge those cards back up again.
They do it right over
now
again.
Now they have $32,000.
That's exactly right. And then they wonder when they get to retirement, why can't I retire? Why can't I have the same lifestyle, right? It's all about making decisions. What's most important to you? There's a way to have your cake and eat it too, but may not be on the level that you're currently doing it at, right? And it just allows you, that budget just allows you to be able to see exactly where things are going. You know, and I'm a huge proponent of that. And the thing is that so many families, and just think about it. Think about the last time you went and bought a house. Did you pull out your budget, look at your budget to determine if you could afford that home?
You should have.
That's the missing step. Why do you think we ended up in a subprime lending environment in 08 where everything blew up?
Right.
It blew up because people didn't know what they could afford.
And banks didn't
tell them.
Hold them accountable
That's
for
exactly
it.
Right. That's exactly right. So I'd like to try a bank and just submit the lowest amount of income possible and see what they do. You know, they say it's on a certain level and your debt shouldn't exceed X percent of your total income level. But in reality, for most people, that's too high. So you have to really budget and put a pen and piece of paper to know if you're living within your means or outside of your means. Are you compounding your debts? You know, making you what we call have that debtophobia where you're going to be fearful of debt down the road. Because truly, truly, it puts you in a bad place to be able to make decisions. Just like that couple I met with last summer when I was sitting across from them at the table and their refusal to have any type of good debt was actually costing them money.
Because
that's a problem.
They weren't taking advantage of the
They wouldn't take advantage of it because they were fearful.
Right.
They were fearful. And is that where you're at with your lifestyle, right? So, you know, and the thing is there is another thing called good debt. And that's what we're going to talk about, too, because it is just as important as talking about clearing up this bad debt and figuring out how to get rid of it. The good debt actually helps you grow. It helps you have a better life in the future. It helps you with your retirement. It can help you with all sorts of things. It can help you minimize your risk. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back.
Life Planning 101 continues right here on KTX KWBY. Final segment of Life Planning 101 right here on KTX KWI. We're talking debt today, Angela.
Yes, debt. The word that makes you cringe.
That four-letter word.
Yes. But in this situation, so we talked a lot about bad debt. Let's quit talking about
that. Let's talk good.
Good debt.
On a positive.
What is good debt? Well, in our definition of good debt, it's a liability that is temporary, necessary, or prosperous. I want you to think about a few things that you may be familiar with. Let's say you're a farmer. And you need to have fertilizer on your coastal for this year. And you take out a line of credit with Ag Texas. I should get paid by Ag Texas for saying that. You take out a line of credit with Ag Texas to be able to go buy that fertilizer for 20 grand. And you go and you buy that fertilizer. You have your crop. And then upon the sale of your hay, you actually pay off your loan and you make money.
Okay? That's the way it's supposed to work.
Would that be good debt?
Yeah.
Absolutely, it'd be good debt. So because you couldn't do it without the debt.
Right.
Right? So it's necessary. It's actually a few of these. It's temporary. It's all of these. Temporary, it's necessary, and it's prosperous.
Prosperous.
Right? Okay. Now, could it go the other way? Could you have a bad crop?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A drought. It's absolutely. So there's not without risk.
Farmers are the biggest gamblers in the world.
They are. They take more risk than anybody. We have a lot of ranchers and farmers as clients. And, you know, it's so funny because they've never had much exposure to stock market or real estate or oil and gas or any of these things. And I'm like, none of that is as risky as what you've been doing your whole life, right? So, you know, that's a big one. What about, let's talk about your vehicle. I get to ask this question all the time, especially by retirees. They'll have money in an investment account earning 5, 6, 7, 8, 10%, whatever it is. And they'll go try to buy a new vehicle. And they said, well, I could get a loan on it and it's 0%. Should I take the cash out of my investment account or should I just, I can make these payments out of my budget, which would be better?
Take advantage of the 0%.
That's right.
Let your money keep working for you.
Let your money keep working for you. So is that bad debt or is that good debt?
Good debt.
Good debt, because it actually leverages your position, right? Because I always think of it this way. Let's say that that was a $50,000 vehicle and you took it out. Okay, you took $50,000 earning, and I'm just going to pick 7.2% because that'll double in 10 years, okay? So earning 7.2%. And so in 10 years, that would have been worth 100 grand over here, and you would have had your car paid off over here, right? So you'd actually have a little more than 100,000 in equity, right?
Right.
But if you took that 50 grand and you pushed it over into your car, and so you had zero in that investment account, what's zero going to grow to in 10 years?
Zero.
Yep. Right. Okay. You got it. So good math. So zero. And then your car's depreciated over here after 10 years.
The 50,000 car is now worth 10,000,
right? Yeah. So you've actually hurt yourself. But do we think about that?
You've actually lost $35,000.
That's right.
Not
or more.
Not counting the potential gain.
The potential gain from your investments, right? And we always have a saying about the way we invest money, okay? People say, well, I could lose that in the stock market. You absolutely could if you let your emotions get control of you, because you don't ever lose anything until you actually sell it. Now, you can have volatility in the way we T-ball, right? That's our whole game with the when we play the stock market, we T-ball. We do not gamble, okay? So if we're playing T-ball and we just try to get around the basis, we may have a lot of volatility, a lot of ups and downs, but as long as you stay in that T-ball game and you don't sell those shares, you're not losing anything,
right?
So it's very important to understand those differences. And a lot of people say, well, I take more risk by doing that. No, you take more risk by taking that out and just counting on your vehicle to hold its value.
Which is not going to happen.
Which it's not going to happen. So let's look at a homeowner. Okay, because the same question gets asked with homeowners all the time. Should I take out my money and pay off my house? Well, if your interest rate is 3.5% or 4%, which most people's are right now, and you're able to earn 5, 6, 7, 8% on your money, plus you're able to write off the interest, so your interest rate really is like 3% or 2%, it's the same situation we just talked about with the car. At the end of the day, if you're looking in 10 years, if you leave your money invested, you've got two piles of equity, right?
Your home and your investment.
Right. But if you take away that investment, what zero go to?
Zero.
Zero. And then you just have your home. And unfortunately, people do this all the time to lower their risk. And I say unfortunately because we all know the risk of leverage. But if it's set up appropriately and you have that budget in place, see where it's all connecting the dots, right? Okay. Then it's pretty safe on the leverage end, right? But think about your house. Do you know that your house is going to be worth more in 10 years than you do today? You don't know that.
Don't know.
Right? So if you put all your eggs in one basket, what have you just done? You've increased your risk.
Absolutely, yeah.
You've increased your risk tenfold.
Because you don't know what the economy is going to do.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
that's right.
Homes usually appreciate.
Usually.
But usually.
Usually. Hey, talk to people in Phoenix. So, you know, seriously. And that's the thing you have to think about is we often don't think about the risk of paying off our home. Think about it. There's a risk in paying off your home. Have you ever thought about that?
Everybody thinks, man, I can't wait till I get my house paid
That's
for.
Right. Why? Rates are 3.5%. That's exciting. I get excited about that, okay? And it's, and people do this all the time in investment real estate. It's called a leveraged purchase, okay? And I actually have some scenarios. You can actually log on katxradio.com, kwbyradio.com, or visit us at kennedy-financial.com. There's an article. It's called Debt, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And it depicts this leveraged purchase idea. And it's basically saying, you know, with cash only, I could buy $100,000 of value. like a down payment.
Right.
Right? Or with leverage, meaning I go get a loan from the bank, I could buy a $200,000 value of a piece of real estate. Now, all things considered equal between these two scenarios, meaning they receive the same rents, they receive the same growth, you have an interest rate after tax savings of 3.25% on that. At the ending picture, your leveraged purchase is 79% higher of a return. Wow. Yes.
That is huge.
That is huge. And the same thing can happen with your home. So don't overlook that. That's really important. So I know I'm running out of time. I've got two quotes for people, because when it comes to debt, don't you notice that we have two types of people? We have people that think that they worry because they should know everything about their finances, and they feel embarrassed to do that. The quote for them is by Socrates. I know that I do not know. I think if Socrates was okay knowing that he didn't know, it's okay for you not to know. There is so much to do with. We actually have that one of our eight life planning issues is liability issues, because it's so big. And the second quote is for those who know everything about money. And we all know who knows everything about money. And I love this. Knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are a fruit. Wisdom is not putting them in your fruit salad, okay? So, you know, you don't have to personally make a fruit salad to realize that it's not a good idea to put tomatoes in it.
Right.
You know, we've had a lot of experiences with the lives of the people that we've worked with, and that's how we are who we are today. That's how we do what we do today. And that's very important. So get help when it comes to your debt. It's really important. It can aid and embed you, or it can hurt you in the same way. And just knowing what your options are better than just going in blindsiding and taking the guessing game through life.
Thank you for joining us.
My name is Angela Robinson with Kennedy Financial Services here in Eastland, Texas. Hope everyone has a great week, and God bless.
30 on KATX, and again on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on KATX and KWBY for more Life Planning 101.
Advisory services offered through Smart Money Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Calton & Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Kennedy Financial Services Incorporated is an independent of Calton & Associates Incorporated and Smart Money Group, LLC.